Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. We thank Thee that Thou hast revealed to us in the language of mankind, in the words of Scripture, the truth of Thy will in Christ Jesus. And as we study the Bible, we study Scripture, we pray for the help of Thy Holy Spirit, that He will open the eyes of our understanding and lead us nearer and closer to Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. And now we come to the concluding portion of the Sermon on the Mount. In the Gospel according to Matthew, the last few verses of the 7th chapter is the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a striking thing when you think of this very interesting and important passage of Scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. It covers 3 chapters, and the last chapter, a third of the total material, is given over to just one warning after another, warning us, warning us, warning us. You know what that says to me? That says to me that there is a real chance a person could be fooled in these things. It's something we should never forget, that when it comes to matters of faith, it comes to matters of believing in God, there is such a thing as being fooled. You see, God is invisible. Because we can't see Him, it's so easy to get the wrong ideas. That's one reason why His Word is so important. One reason why it's so important to have the Scriptures in hand and in heart and in mind is because they give you the pattern, the structure of the will of God, such as you wouldn't get it anywhere else. Now we come to the end of this section, the Sermon on the Mount, and notice the closing warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 21 to 23, there's something said that I often think if it weren't written in the Bible, no one would ever believe it, where our Lord Jesus Christ warns people about an easy, complacent confidence that they're all right with God. Listen to it as I read it in chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. The Lord Jesus says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Just like that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, talks about it, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Mark that down. He that doeth the will of my Father. You see, we're going to be talking in the course of our study about the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's when God rules as king in the heart. When my life is actually being moved in the will of God. That abides forever. Whatever I do, wherever I go, whoever I see, however I do things, anything whatever that I am doing with my thought and my heart and mind, I'm doing this as I'm led, trusting in God, seeking His honor and seeking His glory. That's God's will, and God will endorse that and keep it forever. But not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, it isn't what he says, it's what he does. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Didn't we preach the truth the way we thought that you would have it done? And in thy name have cast out demons, cast out devils? Didn't we exercise ourselves to actually bring results? And in thy name done many wonderful works? We have been called by thy name in our day and time because of being called Christians. We were in the Christian church, working in the Christian church. And we have preached in the Christian church. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think of it. Now listen, I know that the people who do wrong in the sense of killing folks, the murderers, I realize there are people who do wrong who steal. I realize there are people who do wrong who commit themselves in self-indulgence to doing things that are immoral and that are ugly and vicious. I understand about that. And all those things are wrong. But that's not the ones that are being talked about here. The ones that are being talked about here are people who claim to be good. They claim to be religious. They actually think they are. They're going to actually say to the Lord himself, "Why are you keeping us out? We used to do these things." And listen what they did. "We preached in thy name." And more. "In thy name we cast out demons." We actually exercised prayer on behalf of people. "In thy name we did many wonderful works." We've actually produced certain results in thy name. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now let's pause and ask ourselves, what is this business of saying the Lord never knew me, or me knowing the Lord? When do you know anybody? When do you know your neighbor? Isn't it when you look him in the face, when you can tell you've had personal dealings with him, and you can talk to him face to face? Isn't it the person that you have actually visited with, and that you've been with, and you came to know? Well, it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody is just doing something for Christ, for Christ, for Christ, they never have dealings with Christ. Every now and again I hear a man in church. I may hear, maybe he's teaching, maybe he's preaching, maybe he's taking part in some church officer meeting. And deep down in my heart, I have to wonder to myself, I wonder if that man knows the Lord. Of course, I'm not his judge. But listen, folks, even if I am not his judge, God is his judge. Mark it down. If he doesn't know the Lord doesn't know him. You mark that down. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. It is something I feel almost that it is hard to get people to understand this and to believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that no one would come into the kingdom of heaven that he didn't personally know. That would mean that they personally knew him. Now he goes on and gives the closing illustration, a sort of a parable for this whole sermon. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," practices it this way, lives this way, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." The illustration is very simple, but it has a great deal in it. I want you to notice, each of them built a house. So far as we know, one house is as good as the other. What does that mean in daily life? Here could be two people would be doing equal work. Just to bring it right close to us, maybe they both go to church. Maybe they both sing in the choir. Maybe they both are officers in the church. Maybe they both give to the church. Maybe they both sing. Maybe they both actually share in the Lord's Prayer when it is offered. Maybe they both have families that they are faithful to. Both have good reputations in the community. One of these persons is helped day in and day out because he personally knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very faithfulness that he has is not his own. It's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in him. The other person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He does everything he does because he's imitating the other Christians. His father went to church, so he went to church. His wife wants to give to the church, so he gives to the church. His children go to Sunday school, so he goes to Sunday school. They need someone to work with the young people, and he's got young people in the church, and he appreciates it, so he works with the young people. But all the way through, it's just this man doing these things along with church people. But if you were to ask him, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" the honest truth would be he would have to say, "I know about him. I've heard the story. I know where to read it. I know about him." Well, do you know him? Have you had any personal dealings with him? And that would reveal, I think, and could, in the way I'm told the illustration, reveal that the man doesn't really know the Lord. Now, he can expect, when the time comes, that all the things he has done will be on sand. The house could be ever so good a house, but it's not a foundation. Paul writes in the 1 Corinthians, "Other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord." There it is. That's the foundation. And the person who is trusting in him, he'll stand the test. And the person not trusting in him, he won't stand the test. And what does this, again, what is the difference? This person heard the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ and practiced them. May I say to you that he would never do this of himself? He would never do this out of his own human heart. There's nothing about the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that would encourage a human being to want to live it out this way. But if you have committed yourself to God, you're believing in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that Christ Jesus died for you and you're trusting him to save your soul, such a person as that would do these things because you wanted to do these things, and you'd be actually helped to do them by the indwelling Lord Jesus Christ. When you read here that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and it looks as though the man's going to do them himself. Now, we Christian people who have the whole gospel before us, and when I say the whole gospel, I mean we have the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit. These people back here in this place in Matthew didn't know that. They hadn't heard that yet. But we know about that thing. When we read about hearing these sayings of mine and doing them, we have in mind, it isn't ourselves. We don't do those things. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that gets these things done. Because everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount about righteous living and proper living, he personally performed. And when I believe in him and receive him as my Savior and Lord, he brings into my soul his own personal performance. He himself in me does the things that are pleasing in the sight of God, and it works out that way through me. May the Lord help you, everyone, to yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and have these things done for you and in you by the name of the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.